Wake up, everybody. This is Bo Mitchell, Bob Belts, and you two.
There's some good people going.
Welcome to You Get the Blessing. Thanks for tuning in.
So we picked you two for a special reason today, Bo.
Absolutely, and we know that Paul and Marge especially like that kind of music to get their day launched. So thanks for tuning in, everybody, and thanks for letting us know that you appreciate what we're doing here on You Get the Blessing, because we try to bless you each week by introducing you to special guests that we think are impacting the world for the cause of Christ. And today I'm going to let my partner Bob Belts introduce our guests, because they're friends, they're partners themselves, and this is going to be a great half hour, so stay right with us.
Well, we needed an Irish band to introduce an Irish lady to you, and today we are really, really happy to have Roma Downey with us, and Roma, along with her husband Mark Burnett, amongst the many things that they do, of course, are the executive producers of the Bible series that begins on March 3rd, a week from today, on the History Channel. And Roma and Mark have graciously said that they would jump on here with us. And Roma, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, good morning. It's my pleasure to be with you today.
So, Bob, you're going to have to educate some of the linebackers that are listening to the program, because they're thinking, Roma Downey, wait a minute.
Yeah, they're thinking Roma Downey Jr.
So,
is that Robert's sister, maybe?
Yes, yes, that's your claim to fame. No. Well, of course, most of us remember Roma from 9 phenomenal seasons as the star of a show called Touched by an Angel. And I have to say that having gotten to know Roma pretty well during the time that we've had to work together, that honestly, you know, what you saw on TV was who she is. She is an angel.
And I thought you were going to say it was absolutely who she's not.
No.
And she just played an angel on TV.
Oh, no. Well, you know, we'll probably get to some stories a little bit later, but I know that there have been times where you've actually been mistaken for the real thing, and I think you're about as close as it gets, except for Allison and Bo's wife, Gary. So we have to say that. So,
Roma, we like to start by just asking you to tell us a little bit about your childhood and where you grew up and what your family life was like.
Yes, of course. I was the youngest of 6 children, born in the city of Derry, which is the second city of Northern Ireland. It's about 70 miles northwest from Belfast. And I grew up there during the time of what has become known in my country's history as the Troubles. There was pretty much a civil war going on all through my childhood, and so it made the landscape of the childhood that I have a little bit different, perhaps, from everybody else's memories. It was a tense time, and often a frightening time, but I think in spite of all of that, the Irish people it's in our DNA to gather around our fireplaces and to tell story and to sing songs and to have humor. And so that was very much a part of the musicality that weaved its way through my earliest youth. My childhood was really shaped at the age of 10 by the loss of my mother. My mother unexpectedly dropped dead in her late 40s, and I was especially close to her as her youngest child, and it felt like the lights were turned out. And I really think that the woman I became probably grew up around that loss. I was so grateful to my dad and to our faith for the comfort that he brought, and the strength that he brought, and the comfort that our faith, the Christian faith, brought to us during those years.
I lost my mom, Roma, when she was 54, and I was 26, so I was quite a bit older than you, but I still felt this this attitude of I was cheated out of years with my mom. So did you feel that, and did you adjust and move on from it?
I'm sure I did feel it. You know what? It's interesting. It wasn't until I became a mother myself that I really considered, you know, also how she was cheated in some ways. But, you know, I think that there hasn't been a day that I haven't felt her with me. You know, obviously there have been real moments where I just have longed to have been able to look out and see her eyes, to connect with mine, and to have shared the important things of, you know, kids. And
what was her name?
Her name was Maureen. Oh. Maureen O'Reilly was her maiden name. And so when my daughter Riley was born, I gave Riley my mom's last name to honor my mother's memory. But she was a great woman. She was very into amateur dramatics, and I'm sure it's where my love of performance, my love of theater came from. She had a mad sense of humor, and so the memories I have of her are always surrounded with great gaiety and you know, a beautiful levity and lightness. And so it was awful. It was just awful to lose her. But, you know, I look back on those things that were developed in me at that age. You know, I really understood loss. I really became very compassionate of other people who had loss. It allowed me to really understand other people's feelings, to be kind to people. Kindness is a virtue that I value maybe highest of all. And all of the things that it allowed me to develop within myself, curiously, were the very qualities that were called upon from me later in my professional life when I played the angel. And in some ways, I could look back on that and think, you know, even in the midst of sorrow and loss, there was a part of me was being prepared at the very least to be able to take something that had come in as an upsetting experience and to be able to turn it around and use it for upliftment. Hmm.
I know that you've shared with me at one point in time that also that was a, you know, that was a quite a time when you probably experienced the presence of God in a real special way too. Would you feel comfortable talking about that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that out of that, through my adolescence, was, you know, there was such a physical loneliness. My father was such a good father and such a good man, but he was a quiet man. And he, you know, was so sad after our mom died that he was a typical Irish man, really. You know, he wouldn't talk about his feelings, and it was hard for him to express his feelings. And so there was a little bit of isolation, you know, in the home. And I was, you know, so grateful to prayer, really. You know, I would go up to my room and I would learn the value of really connecting to God and to Jesus through praying. And it filled the loneliness for me. I felt the comfort of that, and I felt the presence with me. And and I think it was really at that time in my life that my faith deepened and grew, and it became something very real. You know, it was literally a light that filled the darkness for me.
This is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell, and my co-host is Bob Belts, and our guest today is Roma Downey, the actress that you've probably heard of and watched for years on Touched by an Angel. And we were just talking about her childhood and some of the faith issues that really became important to her because of the loss of her mom. And I'm excited for you and Bob today, Roma, to talk about the series that's out right now on the Bible. But first, let me just say, I think our listeners would enjoy you giving us a highlight reel of your 9 years on Touched by an Angel.
It was such a great run. What a pleasure it was, and a privilege it was as a believer to be part of a show that had a very basic premise, that there was a God and that God loves you and that God has a purpose for you and God wants to be part of your life. And as the angel Monica, I got to deliver that message on a weekly basis, sometimes to as many as 25 million people a week tuned in for that blessing.
Wow.
And as the messenger of that blessing, it was such a privilege. I would, Della Reese, who was my co-star on the show, and who's just my mother, my mentor, I love her madly. She's still very much a part of my life. But she and I would often pray on the set before those scenes. You know, we were, for anybody that never saw the show, in brief, we were undercover angels. And we would show up every week to be there at a moment of crisis for someone when they faced a crossroads in their life. And, you know, some weeks I was pretending to be a school teacher or a nurse or working in a shop or, you know, all kinds of variety of occupations. But there was always a moment when the person that I was hanging out with would have, you know, some sort of event that would create a crack in them, something, a little, you know, their fragility or their brokenness would come through. And in that place, they would ask God for help. Mm. And the moment they opened themselves to asking for help, grace is available. You know, that's the beauty of it, right? That's the truth. Mm. We know that in our own lives. And so Monica would show up for them and say, you know, hey, there, you know, God loves you unconditionally. And that's always available to you, always has been available to you. And why don't you make that choice right now and we accept that love? And so we would pray before those scenes that there would be less of us and that grace could flow through us and out through us, in through the camera, and into people's homes, you know. And you consider any TV shows that you enjoy watching, you watch them in your sacred place, in your living rooms, in your bedrooms. You make a weekly appointment to watch them. And people love Touched by an Angel. You know, I still, when I'm traveling around the country, meet people who say, oh, that show was such a blessing to me. That show, just the perfect show happened at exactly the right time I needed to hear it. You know, you delivered the message at exactly the right time I needed to hear it. And we had a saying on Touched by an Angel, which was, coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous.
Mm.
And
that's great.
I love that, you know, because of course there are no coincidences, and you always get exactly what you need when you need it. And Touched by an Angel was like that, you know, the story showed up for people when they needed them. And it's great. It's back on GMC. It's still running. It's still pulling in a big number, you know, and apart from the fact that some of my hairdos were a little dodgy and they dated a wee bit, you know, the stories still hold up because they were just great stories, stories of family, stories of loss. They're, you know, all of the issues that we battle with, we struggle with every day of our lives.
So you were a minister pretending to be an actress and
playing an angel. I was so glad just to get a job. You know, it's a hard profession, you guys. It's hard because you're so, you know, you're really at the mercy of somebody else hiring you. There's a passivity to being an actor that can be so hard, and it's very difficult. You know, I always encourage young people, because if you define yourself by what you do, then it begs the question, who are you when you're not doing it? You know, and there's so much of the time for actors in between jobs and, you know, hoping to get work and so on. I was so grateful when the script for Touched by an Angel showed up that year, 1994, because I was, you know, I had to pay my rent and I needed to work. I've always tried to make choices that were pleasing to God. I certainly always tried to make choices that, first of all, were pleasing to my own father. I thought if my dad wouldn't want to see it or wouldn't watch it or wouldn't be proud of me, I didn't want to be in it. I didn't want to do anything that would shame him or in any way discredit our family, you know. And I feel the same way about God, our Heavenly Father. If they wouldn't, you know, I've tried to make choices that would be pleasing. I've tried to make choices, you know, in case of the Bible series, that would glorify God.
Let's,
what about that? You know, actually taking the platform of your work and turning your, you know, celebrity. That's what it was great you played U2. I have so admired that about Bono, that he's taken the currency of his celebrity and he's tried to make a difference in the world. I think that's really admirable.
Well, you know, I would say that that's what you and Mark have done. And let's fast forward a little bit so that our audience can hear a little bit about your current project, but why don't you quickly tell us, you know, how, you know, where did Mark come into the picture for you, and then how did you guys, you know, step out in this amazing act of what I think is of faith, and to produce something that is potentially life-changing and world-impacting and very exciting.
Yes, well, what we have made together, we've produced together as a 10-hour series, epic mini-series on the Bible. And we decided that we would tell the stories Genesis through Revelation. That will start on the 3rd of March on History Channel. And that's a Sunday night, 3:13. And then it will be on every Sunday with its conclusion on Easter Sunday, which is just so perfect, isn't it?
Yes.
And that evening is a particularly poignant and powerful evening of television with the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, conversion of Paul, and ending on Patmos and Revelation. And it's just a beautiful, heartfelt series that we decided to make. You know, we met, 10, 11 years ago now. Della Reese, who I mentioned to you, was a mother and a mentor to me. I had been through a marriage that had not worked out. And she said to me, you know, baby, you need to pray to God that God will choose a partner for you. She says, because I don't think you choose very well for yourself. And she said, you need to pray that God will choose a partner for you. And then your prayer should be that you will know him when he gets there. And so that's what I did. I asked God to choose someone for me. And I was having my nails done in a salon in out here in Southern California. And my husband, a stranger to me, came in and was having a haircut. And, you know, it sounds like nothing, but it's one of those life-changing moments where I glanced over and caught his eyes looking at me in the mirror. And something just somersaulted in my heart. And I got caught looking back a few times. And I thought, oh, I can't look over again. I'm so embarrassed getting caught sneaking a glance over there. Anyway, he left. And as I was leaving and paying my bill, I very casually tried to ask who the man was that just left. And the receptionist said, isn't it funny? You should ask me who he is, because he just asked me who you were.
Wow.
I said, oh, did he know? And so he, the long story short is that she called the next day asking for my phone number. And anyway, he called and he asked me out. And the rest, as they say, is history. But
that is a great story. I was
thinking. Great. Not just, you know, he's the love of my life. And honestly, as we have moved forward with this project together, there have been moments when I have truly felt that it was for this that God brought us together, that it was for such a time as this. And there have been moments when he's sleeping. He's a great man for sleeping. He's only got two speeds, you know. He's either just all go, like he's just full out. He's like a massive engine, or he can completely stop. And I'm, you know, usually up later, up earlier. And so, but sometimes I'm in there when he's asleep, and I'm just praying over him, and just watching him when he sleeps, and loving him as he's sleeping. And I really do feel that you know, there have been times when, as we've been working through this, because we've been on this, guys, for 3.5 years, we've been on this journey together. It's amazing, really. We're still speaking to each other.
Oh.
You know, anybody out there that's ever worked with their spouse, and on a project that it's as gigantic as this, and you know, and ultimately stressful, because this was shot overseas with, you know, massive cast and you know, a big crew. Bob, you know, Bob, you came and you joined us there for some time in Morocco, and you got to experience the life on the film set with us. So you know, that was a big machine at work there, and to be at the head of that, you know, was stressful, but so exciting, and I believe that what has been created is better than we thought it would be. I think everybody that came in through the set, all the actors, you know, left knowing they were part of something that's bigger than all of us.
Well, it's come out, you know, fantastic, and I'm sure that those that are listening today are going to be, I think people are going to be surprised at the, you know, how good it is and the great quality. You know, you had a great story about, I think you and Mark maybe were at the BBC or somewhere that, you know, kind of generated the desire to do this. Can you tell that story a little bit?
Yeah. It was not at the BBC, Bob, so we can't start that rumor.
All right.
But it was a documentary that had actually been sent to us. So, you know, we get sent lots of pictures and tapes and things to watch. You know, wondering if we might be interested in attaching ourselves as producers or working on them and so on. And it was just something that came across our desk and we put on to watch. And it was so mean-spirited in its attack on God. It was one of these sort of negative, why would a loving God send a flood? What kind of a God would ask Abraham to kill his son? And so on. There was nothing redeeming in it. It was just very, very negative and dark. And we, of course, had no interest and would not have wanted to have been part of anything like that. But, you know, it served the greater good because it was so upsetting that out of that came a conversation where I said, I would never want to be part of anything like that. I mean, if we were going to do something on the Bible, why wouldn't we just make the Bible? And there it was, you know, it was spoken. And you know, I believe that was the seeds that were planted first in my heart and then in my husband's heart, that we would actually, you know, because it's very audacious, very ambitious, kind of insane, really. No one has ever done it, and now we know why. It was very complicated and very, very difficult to do, but we moved into it prayerfully that we would draw to us the right people, that we would be guided, that we would have wisdom, that we would have, you know, make the right choices. And each step of the way, we checked on that. Each step of the way, we prayed on it. And the right people were drawn to us.
Tell them a little bit about finding Diogo.
Yes, well, that was, here we were. We're 2 weeks from beginning filming this, you know, $20 million plus project. All the, you know, pieces are lining up. They're already over in Morocco scouting locations. We have, you know, scripts are taking shape. It's all ready. We have a day to start set, and we have no actor to play Jesus. You know, the fact, you know, and he was singularly going to be our most important piece of casting. I mean, unquestionably, he's our leading man. He's the star of our movie. And we knew that we wanted somebody very special. We knew the qualities that we were hoping the actor would have. We wanted a strong, physically strong actor, someone who could generate strength, but also gentleness. We wanted an actor who, you know, would be charismatic and that you would want to follow, would have that sort of leading man charisma, but at the same time would have humility. Now, those qualities don't often go together in an actor. You know, in my experience, the good-looking leading men often come with a bit of a swagger. And, you know, I knew that I, you know, while I wanted a strong and quietly confident Jesus, I didn't want a swaggering Jesus. So we wanted somebody who could portray the lion and the lamb. And we just put it out there in prayer. We put it out there in prayer circles. You know, I know we asked you to pray with us, Bob, and to ask your church to pray. We put it out into church groups. And anyway, it went out in a big, big call that we were looking for Jesus. And it was not, you know, 3 or 4 days later that we had a call from one of our crew members in Morocco. This is just to show you how amazing God is, just in case you needed reminding today. One of our crew members was in Morocco scouting, way ahead of us, trying to figure out locations.
Now, Roma, I hate to do this, but we're getting really close to the end, so tell us this quick.
Anyway, it was a very long way that it came to us. It was so coincidental how it came to us. But from Morocco, they sent the name. They had met this actor before. They couldn't remember his name. They looked it up in a hotel registry. They sent us the agent's name. We called the agent. The agent said, oh, he's not in London. He's in Los Angeles. So I said, I'm in Los Angeles. Can I meet him for tea? He arrived the next day, and I knew it was him.
Oh, and he was great.
Coincidence, you said, is God's way of remaining anonymous.
Coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. And the coincidental things that happened here again and again and again. You know, we were shooting one night the scene with Jesus and Nicodemus and John 3, when Nicodemus, curious about Jesus, comes down and Jesus is telling him that he can find the kingdom of God, but he needs to be born again in spirit. And he says, spirit's like the wind. It blows where it wishes, and you don't know where it comes from or where it goes to. And out of nowhere, in the stillness of a Moroccan night, a supernatural wind kicked up and blew through the village, as if the Holy Spirit himself showed up and said, here I am.
And you can see it it's on the screen. You probably, you know, most people would be thinking that, you know, you engineered that, and yet
it looks like a fan or a wind machine blew Jesus' hair, blew the trees, blew Nicodemus' robe, but there was no fan or wind machine.
Roma, thank you.
Out of nowhere.
I know, and I hate to cut this off. We're actually going to be able to have another half hour that will air next Sunday with Mark, but we would just love to have you back sometime, and thank you so much for what you've done.
I'm so grateful. Thank you for helping to let people know. It's a beautiful series. I think it's going to touch people's lives. For people maybe even that never open a Bible or get a chance to go to church, but to see this on television, be the beginning of a conversation, the possibility that at the water cooler the morning after, people are going to be talking about the Bible. Now that's exciting.
It sure is.
You're great, Roma. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.